Ask Dr. Seibel, your best resource for answers to all the questions you may have about your menopause experience. Dr. Maish Seibel is an international leader on women's health and menopause and is committed to supporting women in navigating the change for a healthy, vibrant life. He's editor of My Menopause magazine in the Apple newsstand and on Google Play, and founder of Menopause Breakthrough, a five-week online course that helps women create their own personal menopause breakthrough action plan. He's the former director of Harvard Medical School's Beth Israel Hospital Division of Reproductive Medicine, director of the University of Massachusetts Medical School's Complicated Menopause Program, and author of The Estrogen Window, due out from Rodale Press this spring. Each month, Dr. Seibel will answer questions submitted by his community, real questions from women and the men who love them about the challenges and the blessings of menopause. Welcome, Dr. Seibel.
Hi, Sherry. So nice to join you, and welcome to everyone.
Yes, it's great to be here today. Well, we've got some great questions for today's Ask Dr. Seibel. So we're going to start with our first question is from Linda. And she says she's 62 years old and has been on hormone replacement, it's called MIMV, for 7 years. Her doctor was afraid that she would get cancer, so she stopped taking it. She's also been put on estrace for vaginal atrophy. When she went off MIMV, her face felt like it was on fire, so she started taking it again, so now she's on both. What do you think? Can she take both, or is that putting her at risk for cancer?
Well, that's a very important question, and I'm going to break this down into parts because, as you know, people ask the questions that are concerning them, and I want to make this as applicable to as many people as I can, as well as to Linda. And I do want to say that if you or your friends should have questions that you want to have asked here, remind you that you can go to AskDrSeibel.com, that's AskDrSeibel.com, and you can leave your questions and we'll address them as many as we can. So let's take this down to its relative parts. The first has to do with the fact that she's 62 years old and she's been on hormone replacement for about, she's been on hormone replacement for about 7 years. Now, that means she started hormones at age 55. So 55 is a window of time that is within the estrogen window, something I talk about in great detail in my book, The Estrogen Window, that's coming out from Rodale in April of 2016. Now, the reason this is important is because she started it at a time when her body hadn't been away from estrogen. In other words, she was taking it at a time when estrogen was continuing to be impactful. And that window of time offers her the best opportunity to lower her risk of cancer, especially breast cancer, which is one of the estrogen-related concerns that women have. So she was well within that window of time, and whether or not that would have contributed to cancer depends a lot on Linda's personal history and her medical problems in addition to her family history. So I can only say that she was in a safe window to be taking it. Now, MIMV itself is an interesting replacement therapy. It's not the typical ones that many people are taking, the kinds that contain a conjugated estrogen like Premarin and a synthetic progesterone called medroxyprogesterone acetate, or Provera. It's a completely different medicine with the same basic kinds of components. The first is it contains the estrogen estradiol, which is a bioidentical estrogen, and it has a progestogen, which is the name we use for anything in the body that acts like a progesterone, not a natural progesterone, not a bioidentical progesterone, but a synthetic one, a progestogen. It's one that's called a norethisterone, which has been shown to be a relatively safer one than Provera or medroxyprogesterone acetate. So the combination of estradiol and the progestogen is a reasonably good choice for her symptoms. So that's the first part of it. Now, estrace, she's been put on for vaginal atrophy. It's very common that women will have vaginal symptoms. In addition, even if they are taking a hormone replacement therapy or hormone therapy, as it's now called, and the reason is because women are trying to get the lowest possible dose of estrogen and or hormone therapy that they can, and many times the dosage that is able to help them relieve their hot flashes and other symptoms, by the time that part gets down to the vaginal tract and the bladder and the genital tract, the dosing that gets down there is very low. So many times they'll still need a little bit of additional help to have lubrication and moisture and vaginal support so that it helps retain the urine and not have a problem with loss of urine. And so many women are taking a vaginal as well as an oral or transdermal through the skin type of estrogen or hormone therapy. The good news is the amount that gets into the bloodstream from the vaginal canal is very low. So the additional amount isn't very much. So taking those two together generally isn't a problem. That said, what goes in the vagina in terms of estrogen doesn't necessarily stay in the vagina, and some of it will get into the bloodstream. So if it's absolutely essential for your medical situation not to have any estrogen in your bloodstream, then there is a very small amount that will get into the vagina and into the bloodstream in most instances from the vagina. So you have to talk about it with your doctor. But in general, it's not too much. It's not adding that much more. And so this all makes sense, and at least in general, is a reasonable thing for Linda to be doing. Again, it depends on her personal history, her genetic history, her family history, her medical history, in addition. But as a general statement, it seems like she can take both without putting her at increased risk for cancer. But the important part is that it's individualized and that you have to think of it as something that has to be renewed in terms of your contract with your doctor for this prescription in terms of continuing to take it. So for an estrogen plus a progestin, generally at 5 years, you want to be able to talk with your doctor to see if it makes sense to continue it, and then 5 years later, you want to have that conversation again and see if it still makes sense.
Wow, great information, great information. You have all this in your head. I'm just amazed sometimes. So our second question is from Angela, and she says she started taking Red Clover from Holland & Barrett. I believe that's a brand name in the UK. Do you have any advice on this and how long she needs to be taking it before she feels any benefits? And she says she's suffering from hot flashes and night sweats.
Well, hot flashes and night sweats are certainly really common. I mean, basically, as you all know, the hot flushes, as they're called in the UK, or hot flashes in the United States, are those feelings of warmth. And when they occur at nighttime, they basically are called night sweats. And they're a big problem. They disrupt women's sleep, and they cause women to have the need to wake up. And that can be very disruptive in terms of their mentation the next day because they're chronically tired. Well, you're very right, Sherry. Holland Barrett is, in fact, one of the most popular of the Red Clover supplements in the UK. And what is active in Red Clover, of course, are certain phytoestrogens or plant estrogens, similar to the kinds of estrogens or phytoestrogens, plant estrogens that are found in soy. And for some women, they are very effective in controlling hot flashes or hot flushes. The thing is that particular brand I don't know what's in it, and that has to be looked at in terms of analysis from places like Consumer Labs or other places that actually analyze what's in it for the amounts and the purity and so forth. That has to be evaluated specifically. But in general, when we talk about any of the alternative treatments, what's really important is to realize it's not a medication in the sense of a pill that comes from the drugstore. It's not a pharmacologic agent. It's a plant-based food or part of a plant-based food in the form of a supplement. And so it doesn't work 1, 2, 3. It works more like 7, 8, 9, 10. So you have to give it a little bit of time. And the time that I usually recommend to people to wait as a reasonable amount of time is somewhere between 2 and 3 months. Because in that amount of time, it's very likely that if it's going to be helpful, it will be helpful. And the helpfulness is going to be not necessarily as making hot flashes and night sweats go away. What you're really trying to do is turn down the heat a little bit so that you won't be woken up, as we talked about at the beginning, and you feel a little bit uncomfortable for a moment, perhaps, or you are a little bit maybe aroused from sleep, but not totally woken up. So that's the goal, not to get them gone, which would be ideal, but doesn't happen very often, but to lower the heat so the intensity is not so great. And the variables for hot flashes are frequency and intensity. How often do they come and how hot are they? So that's the things that matter. Give them 2 to 3 months. Also, because they're plant content, generally they only last in the bloodstream for about 12 hours. So what you want to do to get the maximum benefit is to take one in the morning and one at night. And if you're the kind of person who just cannot remember to take two things a day, which a lot of people can't, then take them at night, because then you're going to get your peak effect during your sleep, which is going to be helpful in terms of controlling your sleep. So give it a little bit of time. If that doesn't work, go back, talk to your doctor, and consider a second alternative instead of just the red clover. See if that helps. And because it's always best to try one at a time rather than adding things on, because you never know if it's the addition of things or how many you need, and then you don't know if you have to take both or one would have helped. So that's what I would do, Angela, for your question.
Oh, that's awesome. So test to find out what works for you. I love that idea. Cool. So next we have a question from Tracy. And she says she's having terrible menopausal side effects and has been given the hormone replacement therapy, Lusty Conti, not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly. It's helping with some of the effects on her mental health, such as the high anxiety and overthinking, and she has been able to sleep a little bit better. But she's suffering from a host of other symptoms, from constant headache and aches all over, to no energy, never feeling happy, no interest in sex, lots of other things. So is there anything else that she can take to help suppress some of the other severe symptoms that she's experiencing?
Well, there are always, or majority of people have more than one symptom in menopause. And the effort that has to be is to try and find things that will eventually help them. And it may take more than one. Now, the medication that she's taking, again, is one that's popular in the UK. It's Elest, is E-L-S, really, E-L-L-E-S-T-E, and it's called a Duet. And so it's a product that, again, has ability to help many of the symptoms, but the mental health issues that come with menopause are among the most common. For instance, anxiety is a very common complaint, and it accompanies most women in the transition. Now, she says that she's overthinking a lot of things. So people that have underlying problems that are real mental health issues, such as obsessive compulsive disorder, OCD, can contribute to the overthinking. So women if they have a depression or panic attacks or any type of OCD, other kinds of mental health issues, may in fact start to feel worse at the time of menopause. So it's important to work together your hormone specialist and your mental health specialist if you are seeing one. The other thing is that Tracy is saying that she has no energy, she's never feeling happy, no interest in sex. Is there anything else that she can take? And the thing about it is that loss of libido are very common problems, are a very common problem. Estrogen and hormone therapy can help with that, but her doctor can look at, number one, if her testosterone levels are low. If they're not low, giving testosterone isn't going to be helpful. The second thing is that she has to talk about what's going on in her life, because it could be that at the time of life that she's at, there could be social things going on, strains with her husband, issues with her kids, problems with ill parents, a situation at work that's a problem for her. So we have to look at her lifestyle and social issues to make sure that that's the main problem is just the symptoms of menopause or not. And if they are, then those can be teased apart one at a time and addressed, and that's the best way to do it. And that's what I would suggest for Tracy.
Oh, perfect, perfect. Well, I can't imagine having all those symptoms at one time. I know you're helping her a lot. So here's one I can really relate to. Jennifer is struggling with an ever-growing waistline. She says she's eating less than she ever has, and she's still exercising, but she's getting a spare tire around her middle. What else can she do?
Well, I will tell you, Jennifer, you are not alone here. Gaining weight is one of the biggest issues, and women are always saying, I have a closet full of clothes that aren't fitting me, they're a size too small, or my belts somehow keep getting too short for me, what's going on here? So this is a real problem. I will tell you that it's a time in life where, number one, metabolism is slowing down naturally, so you do burn fewer calories than you did a decade earlier. But there is some very good news about it, because number one is that there's several new studies that have come out showing that if women are very active in terms of exercise and if they eat healthy foods, and by that I mean trying to avoid the wheat and the sugar and try to eat mostly vegetables and eat protein that is plant-based primarily. If they do those things together with exercise, it not only makes their muscles stronger, it not only helps take inches off their waist, but it also changes the distribution of fat in the body, the amount of muscle and fat. I mean, it's a poor analogy perhaps, but you've probably bought steak that had a lot of fat in it, and you've bought lean meat. If you look at that muscle mass, the cows that are eating the grazing and so forth, they have a lot less fat in their muscle, which is what you can very easily see in the grocery store. And the same thing is true for us. The more lean foods that we eat, the more healthy foods, the more plant-based foods we eat, the more our muscle contains just the muscle and not the fat. Now, the same studies and other studies show that if estrogen is added to it, then what happens is that it's easier to lose weight. I'm not saying you have to be on estrogen. You can go a long way if you are strict about what you eat and you exercise regularly and you can maintain a good body shape. But estrogen naturally causes not necessarily weight gain specifically, but it causes a distribution change, so that what happens is all that fat that's making hips and thighs and look really shapely suddenly finds itself targeting the belly. And you have to remember also is that you have two kinds of fat. You have the fat that's called subcutaneous fat. That's the fat that's kind of under the skin. And then below that is the fascia, this canvas that wraps our body and our internal organs in. And under that is the visceral fat. And I call it the vicious fat, because that's the stuff that causes the bad hormones that lead to the formation of diabetes, high blood pressure, diabetes, heart disease, and cancer. Those are the things that are bad. And that's in that visceral fat. Visceral is just those organs. So it's the fat that surrounds the organs inside of our abdomen. And estrogen does help, because in the absence of estrogen, you lose some of the enzymes that break down fat, and it causes storage of fat into the cells in the internal abdomen. So if you're able to take estrogen, it will be helpful, but it's not mandatory. Plant-based, primarily, limit the amount of saturated fats, avoid sugar and bread, and exercise regularly. And it's just like Mama said many years ago, those are the things that will keep you healthy and fit.
Oh, perfect. I can see I've got some diet changes to make myself. So our last question today is from Alice. She's 55 years old, and she says she hasn't experienced any menopause symptoms, but her period stopped altogether about 6 months ago. Is that normal?
Well, Alice, I have to tell you, you're in a minority, but it's not a bad place to be, because not everyone has menopause symptoms. The good news is that about 25% don't have hot flashes, and 10 to 15% don't have, they kind of sail right through it. They don't really have these kinds of symptoms that we've been talking about in from other people asking questions. So hooray for Alice. So it is normal. You want to, at 55, have your blood tested and make sure that you are, in fact, in menopause and not something else is going on, just to be sure. But it's most likely at 55 that that is the cause. The average age, or the mean age of menopause, at least in the United States, is 51 years, but the range goes from about 45 to 55. That's pretty much the range. And of course, about 10% of women will go into menopause before age 45. That's called early menopause, and about 1% of women will go into menopause before age 40, which is called premature menopause. So, yes, it could be everything that is just like you'd like it to be. You had your periods, and when they're over, they leave quietly and leave you alone. So, could be just fine.
I think all the women on the call probably would like it to be that way.
Well, for some it is, and I think it's fantastic.
Yeah. Absolutely. Awesome. Well, that's our last question for today, Dr. Seibel. Thank you so much for all of your insight and information. And do you have any parting thoughts for our callers today?
None. Specifically, only to say that these are questions from people who are experiencing symptoms and issues that are trying to get a new look at or get my advice on it, which I am happy to provide. And all you have to do is go to AskDrSeibel.com. That's AskDrSeibel.com, and leave your questions, and we do answer them every month, and we do keep the recordings of our calls in case you can't be there for the call, and you can check out the answers. And if you have friends, relatives, or other people that you feel would benefit, please feel free to ask them to join us, because my goal is to help as many women as I can experience menopause in a positive way. It's a magical time of life, and what we want you to do is to be your best possible self in this transition and beyond. So thank you very much, Sherry, and thank you all for joining us.
Thank you very much, Dr. Seibel. Have a good day, everyone.